This podcast is a Digital Diamond Network production.
Any of you radio personalities think you want smoke?
Smoke.
Call me Mr. Chimney. I want smoke.
You are now tuned into the motherfucking greatest. I want all the smoke.
Chill.
Yeah.
Chim up.
We in here.
Yeah. Yeah, this is better. I like that. I know, bitch.
Yeah.
Where the hustlers at?
Yeah.
Where the hustlers at?
How do I turn myself up? Is it the second one?
No, I think you're the first one.
The first one's turning up the music.
You are the music, nigga. It's all coming through the same headphones.
Well, sure, I didn't know. I was like, why?
Yo, your statement before we started the show reigns true, because I was like, because in my head I'm like, oh shit, so which one is the, because if you have this one, it took me a second to realize it's all the same headphones. While I'm looking for my stopwatch, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children above ages, you are now tuned into the world's most dangerous, the greatest, and the toppest of the tops podcast. I want all the smoke.
Yeah.
And without any further ado,
yo, what up? It's your boy Idol, a.k.a. T, a.k.a. Tinfoil Hat T, a.k.a. Big E. I only been there once, but they already call your man Mr. Vegas. Kill him with your nose. A.k.a. Titty Boy, because I love them titties, boy.
Say it again for the niggas in the back.
A.k.a. Titty Boy, because I love them titties, boy. A.K.A. Money Making Mitch, A.K.A. Trinitron Don, A.K.A. Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, A.K.A. 2 years older, 2 years wiser, A.K.A. Where the weed at, A.K.A. the nigga that bring the bottle, the nigga that lead a bottle, reppin' that smoke mine, stay to the line straight. Run up, get done up, nigga.
Don't make me have to raise your son up, nigga.
Yeah. And who am I chilling with?
When I get to my notes, I will tell you. It's your boy, Will Hayes, a.k.a. the habitual line stepper, Willie Camozzi.
Murderer.
A.k.a. Motherfuckers. I swear to God, every day.
Already? God damn.
Already, nigga. We 3/4 of the way through.
Did you hit the YouTube joint?
Yeah, I pushed record.
Oh, okay, cool.
I believe so.
This is why any errors occurring are because of this.
It's because of the Uncle Appleton. Apple of the state brought to you
the
by Appleton. The
Appleton.
Aged in oak barrels.
Appleton State.
Appleton State. We call him Uncle Appleton.
All right, take it from the top, nigga.
I can't even do that. It's your boy, Will Hayes, the habitual line stepper, Willie Camozzi.
Murderer.
A.k.a. the aristocrat, because we drinking with the pinkies up.
Toodaloo, motherfuckers.
I would have a shiny birthday pinky ring to show off to y'all, but it has to be resized.
Oh, nice.
Almost lost that shit out my window.
Oh, because you were just like, it just flew off.
How was I moving again?
Yeah, that's like bitching you in the foreign, nigga. Just happy to be in it.
AKA the mayor.
Hear ye.
The ombudsman.
Hallelujah. Town court is in session.
The red coats.
Yeah.
Why do we even, we shouldn't be, let's just shut it down right now. Let's just go home.
Nah.
The two of us.
Nah.
That sounded real, pause. I had to pause that. I'm not inviting you back to my Illuminati Giuliani. The mayor, a.k.a. I'm knocking on some doors and I'm looking for some whores.
Whores here.
Will Hova's witness, a.k.a. my mouth is a curse, my tongue is a blessing. If Shorty X up, I'm attending to that lesson. The Silver Tongue Gorilla.
Rah. Rah.
A.K.A.
Beware of the Ramp Sex.
On point today.
Yeah.
The Last Boy Scout. A.K.A.
Call me Mr. Chimney.
Because I bring the smoke in many flavors.
Young Shisha. Harry Hookah.
Yeah. I feel like I'm peaking, but I'm not peaking. I think it's just, we're just really, really, really clear with our enunciation of our vocals.
Yeah, that's definitely, it definitely sounds clear today.
We're good with it. How you doing? How was your week?
I'm good, man. I had a really good week. A couple books I ordered came in.
Right.
Was happy about that. As I said, I would let everybody know my progress. So far, I am down 12 pounds.
There you go. Hold
Got
on, hold
my
on, hold
eating
on,
back on.
Before you even get into that, let me give you one of these.
Told y'all motherfuckers I was coming back down 12, back on the road.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and aside from that, you know what I mean? I'm just working on the bathroom. I know we've been talking about it for weeks.
Still, but you ain't home yet?
No, no. It's pretty, it's getting tiring, but you know what? It looks real good, so I'm happy about that, man. But other than that, just working my fingers to the bone, reading those books I got. I was researching some shit on investing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Got to figure out what to do with that money for tomorrow.
There you go.
Trying to get that together. But other than that, just chilling. How about you?
My week's been good. Quick question. So you're going to start reading some new books?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to 48 Laws of Power?
I have it by the door. I keep forgetting it. To bring it back, nigga.
Have you read it yet?
No, I didn't read it all.
You got to start reading it. But you started reading it.
I read through a couple chapters, but then those other books came.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
What?
That's why I don't lend shit to niggas. I don't try to enrich niggas.
No, nigga. I trust me. I'm going to. Actually, you know what? Just because of that, I'm going to read it before I give it back. No, and I'm serious. Because actually, you know what I got? I've been into paper books. I picked up a couple. I was reading them. It felt good in my hands. I was like, you know what? Getting this knowledge, you know.
I've been hitting Audible a lot. I really haven't had like every time I have the time to sit down and not do anything, I really just want to decompress, right?
Yeah. No, but, I hear you.
Yeah, but Audible, and then sometimes I'll just throw on the Audible and listen to the audiobook.
Yeah.
In the shower, on the drive.
Exactly. That's like anywhere, me right now. Yeah. Now, actually, to tell you the truth, I probably would do more reading if I did Audible as well. I probably would, because I am a very passive, you know, shit playing in the background while I'm doing other shit.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly.
And I don't know if the books I got were on Audible, though. They were kind of hard to get. I had to actually order them from the States, and they were pretty expensive. So,
do you want
to
hit them with the books you got? Maybe I could check.
Yeah, well, I got two books by a cat named Dr. Claude Anderson. He's definitely one of the black scholars that I listen to. So the first book I got was called Black Labor, White Wealth, where he kind of talks about just, you know, all the social justice type topics.
I'm going to put these in my notes. Hold on.
It's a dope book so far. You definitely want to get that one. And then his other book, Powernomics. Two really good books. He really breaks down a lot of the systemic problems and shit like that. Talks a lot about history and all that shit. It's like really good books if you're into the whole, you know what I mean? Definitely Dr. Anderson. I've heard like most of his shit as far as YouTube and whatnot. He's definitely one of the black scholars I respect most. So tell me if they are on Audible, though, because that would be dope.
I'm just writing it down right now. So we got Black Labor and White Health. Right?
White Wealth.
White Wealth.
Yeah, Black Labor, White Wealth, and Powernomics.
Okay.
You definitely want to get those two books, man, especially if you're into the whole thing about civil rights and blacks gaining power. He talks a lot about a lot of shit. He's one of the guys who actually really brought me to the whole thing about how integration was actually a down on the whole black liberation, you know what I mean?
There's people out there, and I've had conversations with people that believe that integration, not integration is bad, but integration was, the way they did it was a huge overcompensation.
Yes.
Which made it turn out to be bad. There's a lot of people that I've talked to with that, and I'm thinking that I might kind of agree with that shit.
Yeah, no, me too. I don't know, you know. I just think because at that time, it's just we just wanted to be seen as equal so much that just getting to swim in their pool with them was like felt like a victory.
And I think that's what – it's one of those things where it's like we are – my week was good, by the way. I had a good week.
That's I did ask you. I did not mean to gloss over.
Yo, we both went back and forth because of one other thing. But I had a wonderful week. Nothing exciting happened. I'm tired today.
Cool.
But I feel like so with the integration and everything like that, I feel like we were put into a position to where our worth in our eyes was 100% based off of the white man's scale.
Exactly.
It's like as soon as like we had to be at white man rich levels in order to feel worth.
Exactly.
You know,
and
what I'm
be
saying?
Accepted amongst them when
yes.
like it was said, you know, that did horrible damage because no one ever wanted to start their own shit. because we just wanted to be able to be part of their shit.
Exactly.
And so, like, we don't have our own companies. We don't have our own land, our own, you know what I mean?
We don't have our own little, we don't, there's no little Africa, no little.
No.
There's maybe Jamaica, Queens, but that's not, that's, I don't even know if that's.
Nah, that's not the same. Jamaica, not as know? The same as actually owning shit.
Yeah. And then you look at Chinatown, where motherfuckers is like, they were, and how the Jewish community did it. They were probably like, okay, well, you don't want to see us as our equals, then we're just going to stay within our community in this specific area and build each other up.
Yeah.
To where it was with the Black community, and this is in the States, and probably bled over into where we are in Canada, where it was like, oh, you don't see us as equals. We're just going to keep doing something at the level or greater than you are, and our reassurance and our acknowledgement is going to be you seeing us as equals.
Yes.
Rather than us just fulfilling our own communities.
Exactly. Yeah. And then back in the day in like the 30s or whatever, Jewish, because of their history and how they overcame hate, and Blacks were actually quite close allies, and we only really detracted because, like you said, the Jewish people went on to kind of make their own businesses and everything like
right,
that.
Right.
And unfortunately, and I don't think it's a fault, because you got to remember certain things. Like, so when the Jewish people rose up, whatever, and Black people maybe didn't have that same trajectory, you got to remember you're talking about a nation of people who literally were killed for reading.
Yeah, exactly.
For hundreds of years. So to think that we're going to have the financial acumen to start businesses fresh out of slavery. Mm-hmm. And motherfuckers were mad when slavery ended. So you know that they just put us out on the street and we're like, yo, there you go. Exactly, oh, and by the way, here's these loitering laws.
Yeah, now you're free, but
we're not going to give you jobs. We're not going to give you no money. You know, and it just became, and it did become, it did morph into Black people being very dependent on the government. And then that's where us and the Jewish people actually kind of strayed from that alliance that we at one time had, was because, like I said, they didn't, like, we just were so reliant on welfare.
Yeah.
And you had to be. Like, what do you expect? You weren't allowed to have shit, hold shit. No one would give you a fucking job. No one would give you a chance. You didn't read. You weren't even allowed to read for hundreds of years.
Yep.
Like, what do you, there's no kids handing down. You know what I mean? So, yeah, our trajectories haven't been the same, basically.
That's facts. That's facts. That's one of the things that we, you know what? That's one of the things that we're going to bring motherfuckers soon.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We're going to bring soon. Definitely some of them history lessons are coming on the quickness, where we're going to talk about some of the kind of harder shit.
Most definitely. So. We can't get into it now because I need to write shit down.
Exactly. We need to do some more research on that.
But I did check on the Audible. I like to let motherfuckers know.
Mm-hmm.
I got a new iPhone.
Nice.
I switched from Android. So if you watching on the doodad, what do you call that?
YouTube.
I have a Galaxy Note 10 Plus. Love it. Love Galaxy. I love the Note series. I use the stylus all the time.
Okay.
But contract was up for renewal.
Okay.
So I said, fuck it. And it turns out, because usually you got to pay more when your contract's up for renewal.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out all the plans that everybody in the family was on the same thing, I was able to save us, like, I think it was $15 per account, right? So 15 times four.
Per month kind of thing?
Yeah, per month, yeah.
Oh, shit. 60 so it was all right. month?
Yeah, 60 a month. So I renewed and got the iPhone. I didn't say, like, I love Android, but I got the iPhone. So I'm over here just, if you see me and I'm playing with this shit, it's because it's a new toy, and I apologize. So I've been, that was my whole point. I didn't have any real points for it. I've been checking Audible, though, and.
They might not have those books.
Yeah, I'm looking. Black Labor, White Wealth.
Yeah.
I put white, and then I didn't, W-E-A-L-T-H.
Yeah.
Search. Yeah, these books, both these books, Powernomics and Black Labor, White Wealth, are not in Audible. So maybe if there's a link to where you purchase those books.
Yeah, yeah.
If you hit me with that link, I could put that in the our description. So
yeah, for sure, man, for sure. I suggest like going to Claude Anderson's website himself. You know what I mean? He's been fighting for Black rights and shit for a long time. I definitely think you should support him. I really respect the guy. Also, he talks, but a lot of white people don't like him because, you know, he's one of the reparation cats.
This is Claude Anderson.
Yeah. C-L-A-U-D, no E.
A-N-D-E-R-S-S.
Yeah, and then Anderson, how it sounds.
All right, so when you say that he is one of the reparation cats, hit me with that. What do you mean by that?
Well, he's just one of the cats who really believes that Blacks need, like, a plan and reparations to really be able to economically be able to compete. You know what I mean? Because we were left so far behind and it's not really fair. And he just talks a lot about the discrepancies between that, why we deserve reparations. You know what I mean? When you really look at America, how it came about, how we were held back. We didn't really get anything. We didn't get anything to build our own institutions. We didn't get anything. And we did build up and they burnt the shit down. We never got our 40 acres and a mule. You know, he talks a lot about how all the settlers, when they came to America, the reason why they called it the land of milk and honey was because you got free land. Mm-hmm. So if you were an immigrant, you got free land. And if you came with slaves, you got even more land. But the very people who, you know, helped build the country got nothing at the end of slavery and shit, just tossed out on the street. And then they hit them with vagrancy laws and Jim Crow and all this other shit. You know, felons are still slaves, like just with a ton of shit. So yeah, man, he just talks a lot about that, like talks a lot about why that those are part of the reasons why we deserve those reparations. And, you know, and what to really do with them, because people think that they want us to do kind of like, I don't know, you know how the indigenous peoples, they kind of get like a check at 18.
Yeah.
And they just get a bunch of money, which in my mind is fucking the worst thing you could do.
Right.
Why are you going to hand an 18-year-old 10K
exactly,
and then expect them to invest in their future and the land? And
especially
the,
like, after what you've been instilling in his
brain for
18
and then you put them on reservations and shit. It's ridiculous. So he doesn't want to talk about that, but he does want to talk about, you know, community buying big stakes of land, starting to own some of the production, starting to own some of, you know, own some real shit. You know, become wealthy. Like, that's the only reason why, the only way you're really going to get shit done.
Is become wealthy. And not,
yeah, because
not white man rich.
But just wealthy.
Just
like,
wealthy.
Because if you look at, oh my gosh,
sorry,
you hit me with the worst music.
Yeah, at the worst time. I'm
anyways,
sorry.
No, but if you really look at how the political system works and everything like that, it's almost like politicians are beholden to rich motherfuckers who donate. Mm-hmm. So if you're not rich donating, then they really could care less.
Care.
And that's why more black people have to get wealth. You know what I mean? And that's why I'm all for personal accountability. You know what I mean? After all of my research and shit like that, I'm all for personal accountability. But I don't think that we could ever really, I don't think we should really overlook the perpetrator of the reason of why we're in this position we're in.
Right.
You know, you look at redlining, you look at all the shit that they did, how they, you know, there's just a ton of shit. Mm-hmm. I do actually, I am one of the people, and I'm telling you right now, I'm not really popular amongst people, but I do believe in reparations. When you just read about how, basically,
you
free
think
labor
help?
Funded, I think it would help if it was used properly by leaders.
So, if by leaders, so, but we would have to have a mind state to where it does work.
Yes, exactly. We would have to have, that's why I said, I still do believe in personal accountability. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But it's hard now. You know what I mean? What do you do with all these kids who done grown up in these ways already? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what you do with them. Like, sometimes it's sad because some of the scholars will be like, yo, 20 to 30, they're almost lost. Because
yeah.
you almost need to instill this shit as kids. And that's one of the things
yeah.
you're fighting against. You know what I mean? Like, you're fighting against that as one of the big things. Yo, there's still
dead
playing.
Ass. I don't think I need any more. I'm going to have some water. But at this point, like, I feel like sometimes the marches and the protests and things like that are definitely useful and definitely things that we need. But I've said it once and I said it again. I'm not peaceful. Sometimes when I get passionate about something, especially when it's something that I was born into,
yeah,
and I was born into being black.
Yeah, exactly.
I get passionate about it.
But you know what? The funny thing is that even though a lot of the biggest change came from being radical and shit like that, I actually was reading a study where it showed that 93% of the racial justice protests in the U.S. have actually been peaceful.
Yeah, I gotta say, I'm the 7%.
That wouldn't be.
Right.
No, I agree. Like, yo. It,
tell them.
There's disadvantage. First of all, there's people taking advantage of situations. I gotta say, if I was in my 20s, mm-hmm. and we were doing a big protest and windows started getting broken and niggas were getting free TVs, I probably would get a free TV.
Yo, I would have had a Trinitron.
Yeah, like, I just got to admit that. So, but of all the spin and everything like that, they actually show that 93% of the racial justice protests in the U.S. have actually been peaceful. A new report states that 93% of the BLM protests have actually been peaceful, which contradicts the narrative that most protests have been about destruction and violence. The Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project, ACLED, recorded 10,600 protests between May and August and found that most of them were peaceful. Despite the peaceful nature, the federal authorities' presence, so you know when Trump said roll out the fucking da-da-da-da and like all that, showing up with their tear gas and their rubber bullets has actually only aggravated the situation. If you take a place like Portland, one of the hubs of like the furious protests.
Portland, Oregon, which has been like,
They were actually only seeing 17% of the protests end in violence, but once the feds were deployed, the number has jumped to a whopping 42%.
Damn.
Yeah. So they're showing that a lot of the protest, a lot of the violence in the protests has come from non-state actors, which are defined as militia groups from both the right and the left. So we're talking about Antifa, Proud Boys, Boogaloo Boys, KKK. They engaged in more than 100 demonstrations, mostly in response to Black Lives Matter. So you know, we rejecting got
the Boogaloo Boys?
Yeah.
They sound like they sound really that the Boogaloo Boys really sounds like a music group that we play in at Ray's Boom Boom.
Yeah, like yo, Boogaloo Boys sound like electric fucking break into the electric Boogaloo. Yeah, you couldn't find yourself with more of a
Yeah, you can't. You are so racist. You picked the blackest
name you could for Boogaloo, like electric. Boat. Yeah, like that just sounds straight up like some fucking voodoo shit. If not, fucking electric. You know, breaking too, but
that don't sound white.
So I just thought that was interesting. You know what I mean? I wanted to bring that up in this and say, hey, what you maybe thought about, you know what I mean? The fact that the media is portraying it. Like I've even seen memes going around where they're putting BLM and then they're calling it burn, loot and murder, you know? And again, it's all just, you know, narratives you really, like, and spins on.
You saw that shit?
Oh yeah. Tons
burn,
of
burn, loot and murder.
That's what they're,
there is,
they're trying to spin BLM into a terrorist group so motherfucking badly.
There's something, something strange in the world today. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Word to Aerosmith. I don't know the rest of the lyrics. I was going to actually keep going.
I don't know. I'm not going to know Aerosmith quote. Nigga, just, he hands me the Aerosmith quote.
Are you right? And you're like, nigga, that's deep.
That is deep, though.
We're living on the edge, my nigga. We're living on the edge.
Living on the edge.
If,
sorry, it's that was a horrible rendition.
No, it's the horrible rendition, but the nostalgia that you just came back when I said that, it was worth it. There's something going on to where you didn't see this type of anti-movement when it was LGBTQ, and you didn't see this type of the anti towards this movement when it was Me Too.
Nope.
You didn't see this type of anti towards a movement. Now, it looks like BLM, regardless, like I don't care about, when I say Black Lives Matter, I don't care about the political, I don't care about the funding, I don't care about the ownership. I'm literally saying my life matters. My kids, my co-host, my best friends, my mama, my daddy, my granddaughter. I was going to say great-granddaughter. Like, I ain't there yet.
I was like, whoa, Gabby ain't done grown up.
Oh, you better kiss my ass. I got other
kids.
No,
that's
my
point. Oh, yeah, true. You have older kids, right?
I do.
Oh, went female?
Well, step female.
Oh, okay.
Brianna is 17.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. So, yeah. My bad.
It's all good.
I don't know, but I don't know about it.
How not? We have conversations.
I know, but I don't know about each kid and their age.
Well, you should. You're my best friend.
Well, but still, I mean, like,
I can't say that. You know, I take that shit back because I really.
What?
No, when I say that best hurts. Friend. I feel real like I hate saying best friend.
Why?
I don't know. It's just weird. It's just like, you my dude. And it, like the way we are, the circles are extra small. So if I say you my dude and you could come to my house, the best friend should just be implied. Like,
true, but I myself will go around and say that Will said himself, I am his best friend. That's all I'm saying. It ain't no shame.
But the, my thing is like, yo, like, anyways, back to the important thing that we were talking about.
Yeah.
No, most definitely.
Our best friendship is important. I'm just saying. It's a revelation.
We need to start these podcasts before we open the bottle. I think it should be a rule at 20 minutes, then we open the bottle.
In 20 minutes of show, not 20 minutes of me being here.
Yeah, 20 minutes of us conversating about shit that has nothing to do with smoke.
Exactly.
Which would be like, the first and the last 20 minutes of smoke.
Okay. But best friendship aside, What do you think? What do you think about? Yo, do you think the narrative's fucked up? I don't know. If you had a train of thought, run it. I just was trying to help you get back to
You're
it.
A nigga.
Oh my God. So I acknowledge our best friendship and I'm a nigger because of it. See, this is why fucking men's issues aren't taken seriously, nigga.
So this is
because I'm trying to be open and you're just like, you're a nigger. Yeah.
You said it.
Whole room smells like cotton candy.
So it feels like best friendship aside.
Yeah.
Yes. It feels like BLM is the only movement that has so much opposition.
Yep.
You see Trump talking about how the 17-year-old kid was a misguided this, that, and a third.
Mm-hmm.
But then I can't remember what it is. I have the fucking the meme in the picture. There's another 17-year-old kid, and Trump called him a thug.
Yeah. And you know what? We
have so much opposition. It's like Black Lives Matter, all lives. When you say Me Too, no one came out on a serious note, apart from jokes, talking about, well, dudes are getting raped too. Maybe you need to talk about them. Da, da, da. When someone said
And then remember when dudes did talk up about Me Too, it was almost like they were acting like, because didn't Terry Crews come out on some Me Too?
Terry Crews came out on some... Fuck Terry Crews.
I agree, but he still came out on some Me Too. But he did. But they did. But at first they were clowning him.
Yeah.
And then they had to step back and be like, "Stop being a fucking hypocrite."
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Someone came out and touched his junk in the party, and he didn't know what to do. I tell you right now, nobody touched Terry Crews' junk without getting hit in the mouth.
Yeah, like look at the dude. He's like ex NFL motherfucker. Like, right? You're just gonna touch his junk? Maybe it was an accident or something.
Terry Crews definitely jumped on a bandwagon because he cheated on his wife and got called out and had to do public relations for cheating on his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He jumped on the appropriate bandwagon that would help, that would continue his career in white Disney ABC media.
Yeah.
Comcast loves Terry Crews.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's their token.
Mm-hmm.
He's absolutely token motherfucker right now.
But what are we talking about? Yeah. So I definitely feel like from what you said, like, this is, I don't think it needs to be front page, all day, number one news and shit like that. Mm-hmm. But people need to know that 96%?
I think it was 93. Let me just check back. Yeah, 93.
So 93% of these protests that are happening across North America are peaceful.
Exactly. And the only destruction and detraction are coming from A, the federal agents?
Government?
Yeah, whatever. The federal officers being deployed, they're spiking it. And then the extremists, right? Mm-hmm. So you have the Antifa, you have Boogaloo Boys and KKK and all those guys. They're coming to disrupt it.
They have nothing to do with the movement. They have nothing. They do not think Black Lives Matter.
No, they just want their own. Like Antifa just wants to see the government burn anything fascist. They're not really... That's why when people are like, oh, Antifa and their Black Lives, like, Antifa doesn't care about Black Lives.
And
they just want to see the
capitalism see the world burn.
Like fascism burn.
There was no Heath Ledger, RIP, in Batman.
Yeah.
There'd be no Antifa.
Exactly.
Antifa is the anarchist movement on steroids.
Yeah. And one thing I want to say, like, and just for all the motherfuckers out there who are like, oh, Antifa this, Antifa that. Why do these motherfuckers look like I could take three of them? Like, for being such a, like, terrorist group, they're always, like, the scrawniest, fucking pink-haired. Like, it's the worst, man. Overweight dudes. And trust me, I'm overweight. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with overweight. Trust me, I'm fast. I can wreck a motherfucker.
My motherfucker says, I'm overweight, but I'm spry.
Yeah, exactly. I am. And that's the truth. But I'm just saying, like, if I came out and I was like, yo... Niggas would be like, nigga, catch me. Like, you know, they would just have they'd have ignorance. So I don't get how these motherfuckers are like the most feared terrorist group. And then it's like a bunch of fucking pink haired kids. The masks don't even fit them right. You know what I mean? Like, they just look odd. I'm like, because nigga, I could throw these niggas out. Like,
they don't physically do anything. These are the motherfuckers that these are the Timothy McVeighs.
Yeah, where they're just like.
You have to fear them because they will take a U-Haul van with high explosives and put it in the bottom of the Oklahoma City
federal building or whatever,
and blow it up. Antifa is the same motherfuckers that I swear to God, I'll put this on something. It's not gonna be a paycheck. My money is important. But what do you call, what are those motherfuckers that stalk girls?
Because stalkers?
No,
I'm just playing with you.
I know.
I just didn't know what you were talking about.
I'm trying to explain.
I know. But I'm filling the dead air while you get it.
So if we have
okay, let's just wait while Will thinks.
You know what?
Nah, I'm gonna let this one go dry, guy. I'm gonna let this one go dry because I'm trying to help a nigga.
He's just like, you're helping yourself.
He's just like, excuse me, I have an iPhone now.
But there's a.
Excuse me, I have iOS. I don't know if you know who you're talking to.
There's a. Show's done. Like, deadass. I'll do a 30-minute episode because this nigga's just throwing me off of all
day.
And
even.
He's having fun doing it.
You said you love it. You fucking should be proud.
You're having fun.
There's nothing wrong with it.
The incels.
Yeah. The involuntary celibate is what that means.
Yeah. And I feel like a majority of incels are Antifa.
Yeah. They just want to see establishments burn and shit like that. But still, it's a horrible narrative to push when we're trying to fight for civil rights, and it's ridiculous with this whole burn, loot, murder shit. Yeah. So that's why I wanted the top of the story to be that fucking not all this shit is ending in violence like they're trying to show you. I know they're trying to scare you and make you think that, you know, tons of this is happening in the fucking country's burning. And I'm not saying that shit isn't bad out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I know
it's
shit's
not that
bad.
It's not bad, but
it's not like, yo, a fucking protest is coming to my town, and then they show you the one picture of the one city that got burnt to the ground. Because I won't say that, like, motherfuckers ain't getting burnt up. I'm just saying I don't know if it's protesters.
It's, well, remember there was that one, that dude that was all dressed up, and he was smashing out windows trying to decide a riot.
And motherfuckers were like, what are you doing here? Do we know you? They were, like, wondering what the motherfucker was even doing there. And you know what I mean? Like, you could hear people in the video literally being like, what are you doing? Who are you? What are you guys doing? You know what I mean? Like, bad dudes are always going to take advantage.
And I think that was one of the catalysts to people looking into who's actually causing these riots and stuff like that. Right?
Yeah.
Because we started to see people from outside whatever movement was protesting.
Mm-hmm.
And actually they were the ones causing. So let's, for example, this is around the time when tell me the brother's name that got kneeled on. It was
Floyd.
Yeah, George Floyd. Around that time, and that was the dude smashing out the windows, and we found out that the dude that was smashing out the windows trying to incite a riot was a white dude.
A white supremacist.
Part of the white supremacy movement. I can't remember what the name of their movement was in that city. And that's not news. We still have people thinking that
it was just unruly protesters.
But not just and I think it's one of those things where it's like, remember they instilled it into people's heads that black people love watermelon. Based off of a movie.
Yes.
They instilled it into us where that black people were shiftless and lazy.
Yeah.
I remember.
Sleepy, bamboozled. Like, you could see all that shit.
Yeah.
Like, yo, if you want to go back.
When we're the ones that built the fucking country.
Yeah.
For free.
Basically.
I think where they still want to bombard people's heads with, we are not we're lawless. We're
erratic.
Lawless thugs.
Yeah, we're erratic. And then they don't ever want to get to the root causes. Like, well, who put you there? You know what I mean? If you think that, like, who do you think put us there? Like, that's why. And again, I'm not saying no accountability. We definitely need to get up. Things definitely need to change and shit.
They don't want to get to the root cause of it because they are the root cause.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, you get into all this, no white person alive today is a slaveholder, and no black person alive today was a slave, and da 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 da, like, it's just one of the things they say. And I don't know, you know, all that shit about, like, the past was 100 years ago. Listen, if the year after slavery ends, I say, where's my 40 acres and a mule? and you don't give it to me. And 100 years later, I'm like, where's my 40 acres and a mule? How are you just going to act like you waited me out so I'm not owed anything?
I'm going to tell you like this.
Like that kind of, it's just ignorant to me how people even think, no, nigga, we've been asking for it since. And you've said no since.
Black people are not going to get over slavery until white people get over losing their slaves.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm
exactly.
saying?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You yeah. still are mad.
And just to, yo, and I get it, there's unique circumstances about it, you know? Like, the fact that it was chattel slavery for so mm-hmm. long, you don't see that often. I'm now learning from those books that I bought, I've been reading them, I'm now learning that part of it is also the fact that we never fought our own way out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we never actually fought our own way out of slavery.
In America.
And sometimes, yeah, in America, I'm sorry. And sometimes I wonder if maybe that's part of the look, right?
Like, you kind of look at
we didn't do it for ourselves.
You look at Haiti,
you know,
who did. You look at, yeah, it's kind of thing. It's like,
but I wonder if they
where
look
we kind of relied on the white man to save us,
even from slavery. That's why I wonder if that's one of the reasons why they have a whole like, yo, we can't do nothing for ourselves.
I need the soundboard that said soundboard that says message.
Yeah,
because that was kind of deep. We've always been waiting on the white man to save us.
Or let us be part of his pool, or go in his taxi, or shop at his store.
Or have him accept us.
Exactly.
It's like we're in an abusive relationship, and all we want is the person that's beating us down
to love us.
To love us.
Yeah. So, crazy shit.
Let me get a moment of silence for that
gem. Yeah, yeah. No, I know. That's crazy shit. I know a lot of shit I struggle with. I struggle with a lot of it, because I'm just like, fuck, why couldn't we fight? But they just had such a stranglehold, and there's reasons for it. You know what I mean? There's reasons why black people were picked. You know, people think the roots of slavery weren't all about racism.
Right.
Believe it or not. It was actually an economic play. And believe it or not, for the price that blacks were being sold, it was actually cheaper to take blacks, bring them all the way across the fucking world. You know what I mean? And then bring us to a place where we don't know the language. We stick out badly.
Right.
Yeah. So any escaped slave, how you hiding?
Right.
You ain't hiding in society. You ain't hiding in nothing. Like, there was other reasons. The disenfranchisement.
That sword, fam.
Yeah, like, so it's a whole fucked up thing. And the fact that they want us to just wash it away after building, and then how we need something more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And they want to fight it with equality.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And unfortunately, and I hate to say it, and this comes with the whole reparation shit, we need more than equality.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, and I hate to say that. I know I don't want to sound like nothing, but, you know.
That's not you saying we need supremacy.
No.
We don't need to have our thumbs on top of anybody.
No. It's just, put it this way. If we had 400 years where you got to cake, make money, hold slaves, build the country, get jobs, build wealth, have inheritances, have stock positions when we weren't even allowed to have money. And you already built up the stocks, the stock market, and everything like that. Let's just say this. Let's just say today, you know what I mean? You have a dollar, and I have zero.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're like, okay, let's treat everybody equal and give everybody 5 cents. Well, I still only have 5 cents.
And you got a dollar.
And you have
five.
A dollar five, nigga. I need a dollar, man. Like, mm-hmm. or at least close to it. So that's kind of some of the premises
things that will put us on the exact same level.
Which means we're going to need more first.
Right.
To bring us to that. And then if you leave us.
We need the playing field to be level.
So we all have a dollar five.
And then can just go.
And then let niggas go. And if we decide to buy fucking Henny with it and do whatever, well, shit.
That's on us.
Our leaders didn't. Exactly. But we never have had that moment. So for you to think that we should be on par is ridiculous. And the problem is, motherfuckers want to look at LeBron James and they want to look at Denzel Washington and all these niggas begin to be like, oh, well, black men. Yeah, but they're not the masses.
Mm-hmm.
The masses were left behind because motherfuckers like Denzel and shit made it and that was supposed to be good enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not.
Halle
you know what
Berry
I mean?
Got an Oscar.
Yeah, so whatever. What are you talking about? Obama was president. We're yeah, good. Those are the, that's like 10% of us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like 10% of us make it out and the rest have an impossibly hard time. Whether it be you can't get proper jobs, the whole hood's filled with liquor stores, it's all owned by other ethnicities because for some reason, you know, they let people come from overseas and they give them grants and loans to start businesses. So they open up liquor stores in our hoods and fucking keep us down and drunk and fucked up. Like, you got to give us shit to start our own businesses. Let us get out of those fucking depressed areas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just don't see how they see it. But they want to look at it as because they're giving us a little semblance of equality today, that really is supposed to rise us up out of the fucking depressions we're in. It's ridiculous to me.
I can't even.
Powernomics, Black Labor, White Wealth, man. Right, that's there. My man, Claude Anderson. Those are fucking deep books. I've learned so much from it. I've also listened to a ton of other shit, but yo, it makes sense. And I understand why they hate it.
That's all truth and facts right there. And I have nothing to add. That's
and
all,
I understand why they hate it.
The only thing I have to add is I'm going to the website and I'm going to get these books.
Yeah, for sure. I've had the 48 Laws of Power. So if for some reason you can't get them by the time I'm done, I do owe you a serious book lending, so I will happily bring that in. I am going to keep, you know what? I'm going to keep a notepad, and I think you should too, because some of these books are hard to get. I need to know what nigga I lent these out to, because
yeah.
You ever go to a nigga's house and like your book is in his collection?
Yeah.
And you're like, nigga, no.
That's mine.
Not, yeah, that you can't have that on your shelf beside your books. Like,
yo, word to Billy Bishop, but he's had my Machiavelli the Prince. He's had it for a good 4 years.
And I'm glad that you remember. Because that, like, and that's how half of your shit gets. You know how you look around as an older person, you're like, yo, what happened to all this shit
books?
One day, yo, let me borrow that sweater, dog. Let me borrow this. Hey, let me hold this. Let me go watch this movie. Yeah, movies, DVDs, because dudes, I forgot about it. So you now I have a fucking notepad.
You know who borrows the shit the most and never gives it back?
Ooh.
Your grown-ass fucking kids.
Oh, okay. See, I don't have that
problem.
Yeah,
you don't have that. These motherfuckers is disrespectful as fuck.
Yeah, because they just think, oh, he gave it to me.
Yeah. Like, once you just go into your closet, grab a hoodie, and not tell you.
Oh, I never felt that. I don't even know how I'd feel about that.
I see these little ass niggas wearing a fucking smoke hoodie. No, it was like back when Shine Family was popping.
Yeah, yeah.
And I see this little nigga wearing a Shine Family hoodie. I'm like, nigga, where the fuck?
Did you get a Shine Family? Oh,
you got it from Urban Planet. Nigga, yeah, get the fuck out of here, Urban Planet. Went into my
that's
closet.
That's a one-off.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga,
liar.
The horrible liar. Urban Planet, nigga? Like, what's wrong? Check your closet, it's gone. You want to get it back, but when they give it back to you, it's after like eight days. Teenager wear a shirt for 8 days. Don't shower.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember them days. Remember them days.
And you get it back, and all you get like is one of them fucking, the shit smell like Cheetos.
It's fucking ripped and shit because they done jumped the fence and got caught on the end. And
the motherfucking, you had it for less time than I've had it. And you already lost the string for the hood.
Yeah,
how does that shit
fucking
necks all
loose
stretched
and shit.
Out and shit? Like, just keep it, nigga.
I'm real glad I don't have them problems, cause you know, marriage comes with a lot of problems, man. Yeah. Kids is only one of them.
And kids, but I wouldn't say kids are a problem.
No. But sorry, that was worded from a kidless motherfucker. I didn't mean a problem. Okay. Like it's a big problem.
Yeah,
I just more meant like a problem in areas. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I meant. No, kids are a blessing, but marriage does have its problems.
One of them being a woman.
Well.
And sometimes, if you get into you love a woman.
Uh-huh.
You're deep with the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever the fuck happens, and you're not with the woman no more. She wants to get all your fucking money.
Yeah, she want to take everything.
Shout out to fucking Dr. Dre.
Oh, shit.
Yo, according to TMZ, Dr. Dre's estranged wife, Nicole Young, has filed paperwork requesting $2 million in temporary spousal support,
which is fucking ridiculous. Okay, wait.
Now,
wait. $2 million total
month.
Okay, that's fucking ridiculous.
I had a picture.
I'm sorry if I peeked on that.
I had a picture. That was a meme that had the breakdown of what she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm trying to figure out if I could actually find this. Hopefully, I'm checking my Facebook to see if it's saved. Because I think I saved it in my saved things on fucking Facebook or whatever, right?
Okay, okay.
If I didn't, you know what I'm saying? I'm using my new iPhone to try and figure this shit out.
Ah, here we go.
If I didn't, I apologize.
If it doesn't find it for you, you wasted your money. It's iPhone. They're supposed to do anything.
I just save videos on the iPhone. Oh, okay. Or I save videos on the Facebook because I like to repost
them. Yeah, for sure.
But some of this shit, now I'm just throwing out numbers there, but some of this shit's kind of fucked up. First of all, I think there was about 900,000 in entertainment.
So she's like, yo, 900,000 a month.
In entertainment.
What the fuck were they doing?
So
for her to even think that that's a real number, you know, for that to be a real number.
She's looking for male strippers made out of cocaine.
Yeah. Like, for that to be a real number, I want to know how they were living.
Right?
Because obviously she's not, it's not like, yo, if you're living our life and then all of a sudden the bitch breaks up with you and she wants a 900K a month, you're going to be like, bitch, I took you for Diegla like once a month.
And 900K a month is less than half of what she wants. So this is like, this is the messed up part. So she wants 1.9 or so a month along with 5 million for legal fees. Okay. But the thing that fucks me up is despite it heating up on the legal front, TMZ also reports that her lifestyle, Nicole Young, has not been infringed upon as a result of the divorce. She still lives in their Malibu home. Wow. And she has a personal chef still. And she has access to all the course,
nigga. I got course. I whip course, nigga.
Bro, I have no idea. My inner Ice Cube came out.
Yeah.
What do you say? What do you say?
It's like, doctor, he's, nigga starts reading the Dre fucking article. And then by the end of it, he's like, course, nigga.
Course. Has access to all the cars. Bro, I have no idea. I swear to God. I have no fucking idea. A source. Now, this is from TMZ.
Mm-hmm. Which seems to be crack shot news nowadays. I have not heard.
Do you remember TMZ when TMZ come out was often like and be tabloid? Not, you remember yeah, when little, it's like TMZ, like, oh, get out of here.
A
like,
little bit.
So-and-so had a baby with an alien. Like TMZ and the National Enquirer were on par.
But then people started going viral for being on it, and then they started respecting it as a platform.
And they started doing real news stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Not real news stories, but like getting covering like real, the real shit.
Yeah, not
and
just
getting it before anybody
remember
else.
Remember it was all about like celebrities at the fucking airport and shit, yeah. And they just chase them down and be like, yo,
that's what
you
saying.
Think about the divorce, nigga? And they'd be like, ah, like, don't fuck about me. Yeah, like,
I don't talk to TMZ, and now they're getting like major celebrities to talk to
them. Yeah, they're like invited to the parties and shit.
Yo, shout out to Harvey. Harvey took TMZ and made it into something.
And as a person who likes people's court, hats off.
Harvey Levin.
Yeah, he's the dude who just talks about the case with the crowd in between.
I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, and he's just like, what do you think? Like, and I was like, shit, you made TMZ out of that, and good on you, bro.
Yeah. But a source close to Dr. Dre tells TMZ that the producer will push back on Nicole's latest filing, citing that she wouldn't need nearly that amount because her lifestyle has not changed since the divorce was filed. So I'm pretty sure that they're looking at the amount she has now and how her lifestyle has been since they filed divorce.
Yeah.
And saying, if you've been able to maintain this off of 100K or 50K a month, you're good.
Then fuck off.
Yeah. So
like 2 mil a month, like,
but being,
to even
being a nigga that's
to
in a relationship,
ask for 2 mil means that I make more than 2 mil a month.
Now, is there love? So, do you think you could love someone? This has to be spite. This has to be a get back. Why would you ask for, like, even, and then there was that whole thing where there was, like, a fight over was there a prenup or wasn't there a prenup?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully this nigga had a prenup.
I'm telling you. Because love makes strange bedfellows. Or is that politics? One of the
either
two.
Way, man. Money.
Money.
You know, money changes everything.
So, you think Nicole Young is in the right or the wrong to want 2 million a month?
I think she's in the wrong to want 2 million a month.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she should get lots. I don't know. It depends. You know what I mean? Only they know their journey.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if I was a rapper trying to come up and you shared all my posts and washed my dirty drawers and cooked me dinner while I went to the studio and were all at my shows and showed up to the studio with the fucking camera and edited the pictures and got me to where I am.
Right.
Then you do deserve something.
But got you to where you are.
Or help.
And then
not
help,
got
you were helped, right?
But that support,
right,
you could say, does help people. You know what I mean?
But at what point, like, there was assistance to getting to where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the 25 years after you've got to where you are,
mm-hmm,
was shared with you. Mm-hmm. At what point is this, okay, this, the first 15 is shared with you because you helped me get there. Like, at what point? Like, they were together for such a long time. It's like, when you get divorced, like, well, I helped you get to where you are. But
no, I helped you get to where you are today.
Right, but where I am today.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing.
That's why you got to have prenups or start your own shit. And I don't know.
You got to help me to get where I am.
I don't know. If you're making $8 million a month, mm-hmm. then I want to. I don't know. That's why. Without being able to know his financials, I'm just astounded that that's even a realistic ask. Like, nigga, I'm trying to save like $500 a month, $500.
Right.
And put it into like investments and shit. And this nigga's like $2 million a month in a settlement. Like, how much is this nigga making?
A lot.
Yeah, like.
This Dr. Dre, he's making a lot
of money. So what percentage, I don't know.
It's the States, though. The States is a weird thing. Well, the States really doesn't go off a percentage. It just goes off of like how someone feels in most lawsuits. I've noticed that the state really just goes off of, yo, they feel like this, so they should get this.
The thing is, I don't think you could ask for more than half. So that means she's not, is she asking for less than half at $2 million a month?
But the thing, no, but that's per month, right? Because remember, Bezos' wife got half, but she's not getting alimony. She's got half.
Yeah, yeah, but that's what I mean.
This isn't
like,
half. This but is alimony.
But usually alimony can't, it can't, what am I saying? It can't trump half, more than half my salary.
Per month, right. So, right? But like, if you're making.
Like, you can't break me with alimony. But
yeah, and I bet you this $2 million is, and now it's temporary spousal support. So I'm pretty sure she's asking for less.
On a permanent basis.
Yeah, definitely less than what
I don't even think
Dre's making.
I don't even think she thinks she's worth it. I think attorney said shoot for the moon and get the max.
I think something happened that made Dre say that's it.
Yeah.
And then she filed for, and then they filed for divorce, mm-hmm. and she's hurt. This number that she's asking for. And well, I 100% agree. I think the attorney asked for it and she agreed.
Yeah.
But this number really sounds like a hurt number. I'm hurt.
Like, I'm just trying to fucking
get you, I need nigga. To get you back. I need to get you back. Not back in my life, but get you back. Like, revenge.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, yeah. No, I feel you.
And it's revenge is, love is, what Martin Lawrence and what's the name? It's a thin line.
Yeah, no, between it. Absolutely. Absolutely. You could easily push, you know, rub somebody wrong in a relationship and all of a sudden what was fucking like never-ending love, which is probably what he said at times. I'll always take care of you, baby. Bro, you know what I mean? I'm, like, if I make $100 million a year or more, mm-hmm. and you want 12 of it, or yeah. no, sorry, what would that? Oh, no, it would be 25. That's 25 it's mil so a much, year.
You had the whisper.
Yeah, like it's a year.
That's a lot.
Like, holy shit. Like, how you living out there? Like, y'all must be just fucking drinking out of diamond coffers and fucking adrenochrome where you're just bathing in fucking young blood to stay young and shit. Like, what is $2 million a month? What are you doing for $2 million a month?
Do we have a QAnon lead-in? Because that would be a beautiful QAnon.
I know. It would have been a beautiful QAnon lead-in, but it is not. It's just
how you feel. $2 million
a fucking month.
Extra.
What did you... Oh, my God.
I like, at the end of the day, and it's one of those things where it's like, love is fucking crazy, but always fucking have some kind of contract.
Yeah.
And if they don't want to sign a contract, and I know at the end of the day, like, they want to get married, they're willing to sign a contract.
Mm-hmm.
A marriage is a contract, basically, in the lowest common denominator of things when you sign a certificate.
But it might get hard when she's with you from when you're nothing.
But when she's with you from when you're nothing, then because we can have a prenup, and the only thing that prenup says is every Tuesday you have to make me a bologna sandwich. A prenup is like almost 100% malleable.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, okay, so in the prenuptial, since you were with me from nothing, mm-hmm. you can't have half, but I will take care of you to the sum of this amount for the rest of our lives, or until my net worth becomes less than this. You can manage
so
a prenup
to the sum of
says,
what, though?
Well, you decide that in the prenup. So a prenup so a prenup isn't static where if we get divorced, you get shit. You know what I'm saying? A prenup is a contract.
So I know that you're proclaimed married, but when you get real married, are you having a prenup?
With me and Cher?
Mm-hmm.
Most definitely, because
that's probably the girl you'd marry. I'm just saying, nigga,
like, I love
the hesitation right just it really because was a lot more telling.
I really feel like who, that needs to be
Cher.
That's our advertisement. That's our advertisement. You saying who's Cher, and you're like, that's gonna be the girl you're probably gonna marry.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because you were unsure, nigga.
In the mic.
You were unsure. Those kind of questions, that's think time.
Bro, it's been a long week. Okay?
Nah,
it's been a long week. Okay?
If you get married, will you have a with who? Cher? Like, come on, nigga. He's thinking hard. Hard. He's like, yo, would this bitch help me start?
Okay, so.
Okay, I would have to give her
something. Why do you always want to call my wife a bitch?
I don't call her. Is she okay? So do this you guys, like if she's your time. Wife, this do you have time. A prenup?
Yeah.
Okay.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
All right.
Because we're both going to be on a level to where we want to have something to where everybody's taken care of in the event that it doesn't last.
Word
and
up.
I think with a woman, the reason why they get offended with a prenup is that they don't want their man to think it's not going to last.
Yeah, because it's kind of an indication. It's not a good outlook.
Right. And in the man's brain, they're like, yo, I'm going to be optimistic as fuck. But at the end of the day, I cannot predict the future. So it's the emotional versus logical.
Yes.
So I'm definitely going to have the prenup because it's
so then you're not. Well, wait. I want to protect going both to have our, it. Do you have it or do you not?
We don't have it now. We're not married.
Okay, so then I didn't call your wife a bitch.
Oh Christ!
I'm just saying. I took offense.
That's a fucking Dave Chappelle lead up, fam. You know that, right?
I'm just saying.
That was a Dave Chappelle lead up.
Yeah,
you pulled
boy.
It back from like
I had
eight
another
minutes
one
ago.
Too, and you play it. You play it right into it. I'm just letting you talk.
But my whole thing is yes. We're gonna have one.
Oh okay.
What about you and Adrian? When you get married, you gonna have a prenup?
Probably. Oh.
Oh, now we clown
niggas.
Niggas.
I think, nigga. No,
we love clown niggas.
No, we have certain plans and ideas where it's like, you know, we're gonna have a main account that we both go, you know,
nigga,
contribute
fuck,
to
what, your bank accounts, nigga. You
gonna have no. Yesterday. I'm talking about investments and shit like that, like the wealth. Mm. We're gonna have a main account that we try to build wealth. But then I did suggest that we both have our own little things. That way, no matter what happens, we split that main shit 50, and then whatever you did on your side.
Are you gonna have a prenup?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not really as close into the marriage talk as you yet. Yet. Nah, nigga, no. Why?
Because you the only reason why you asked me if I was gonna have a prenup because you really wanted just like you wanted Front Street.
How did I Front Street?
You wanted Front Street.
No.
So I put you on Front Street and you're like, we have accounts. And when we deal with these accounts, we don't have sideways accounts, this account.
Because, listen, we haven't... Okay, so here's the truth.
Mm.
We haven't talked
to... What, so you lied to me before?
No, I didn't say, but just listen. You gotta listen. What I told you, that's all we've discussed as far as
right.
Future and what should happen and what happens if things don't work. That's the only reason why I'm saying that's as far as we've gone. But it is a prenup because it is a... Like, we do... Okay, so for an example... Part of what was left to me was like a big chunk like of my property and shit. My mom left me that, right? So from the very beginning, we already said, yo, man, any inheritances, because my mom, she would never want me to lose what she gave me because of a relationship.
Right.
So I said in the beginning, I'm like, yo, whatever inheritances we get, so whatever you get from your parents, God forbid the day come, those type of things should be protected.
Before we were together, it's... Ours.
Exactly.
Like yours is yours before we're together. Mine is mine.
Yes.
Before we,
yeah, and okay. I believe inheritances should stay on that.
Exactly. Most
because
definitely.
Her parents built that for her to have.
Right.
I shouldn't be able to be a broke ass nigga, break up with her that year and take half of what they worked their whole fucking lives for.
Exactly.
So, yes, there is. Is it signed? Is it? No, but there is things in place where there will be prenuptial.
Okay.
Agreements. Yeah. That, but okay. But as far as being like, yo, we getting a prenup? Like, that hasn't been said. I will admit
it,
that.
It definitely. I think it should be a discussion because A, on both sides, and I'm being chauvinistic right now. On more sides for the woman, prenup need the negative connotations of prenup needs to be removed.
Yeah.
Because my, when I when I want to do a prenup, I want to protect both sides.
Yeah.
Because I'm want to build up her presence and her brand and everything like that to where it's like when we sign a prenup, okay, I know I was with there 110% building your shit up.
Yeah.
I got the burps. I apologize.
It's all good.
I want to be there 110% building your shit up.
Mm-hmm.
But if we ever break up, God forbid, I don't want half of your brand. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm like, okay, so if we ever break up, it'll be on both sides because she supported me through my shit. It's like, okay, so you don't want half. What are we going to do? Da, da, da. Okay, well, if we break up, 10% each.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then flip it back that way. You know what I'm saying? Alimony? I don't know. Alimony is a whole different type of discussion. I really have
alimony comes from, I'm the breadwinner. You didn't work. I said you didn't have to. I didn't expect you to. Spousal what do you support? Possibly have to...
Spousal support is kind of fucked up for me because where it's like, yo, it's one of those things where it's like, I need to give you money because you got used to a lifestyle and a way of life. But when you leave that lifestyle and that way of life, you need to get something to, used to something different.
Yeah.
And I think it's both ways. If she fucking popped off and got multi-extra da-da-da and we broke up,
mm-hmm.
I shouldn't get spouse support either. Like, if I'm used to something and we broke up, I need to get used to something different.
Yeah.
But the allocation of feeding into each other's energies and da-da-da and building each other up shouldn't be 50-50, yeah. But it definitely needs to be a little
tweak.
Tiny bit.
So first of all, I'm going to say an extremely machoistic joke. Chris.
Did you say machoistic?
Is that what it is?
I don't even know where you're going with macho whistic.
Well, no, masochist maybe or masochist. I don't know. Anyways, Chris Rock, he had a joke. I know, no more Appleton before the show, nigga, at all. But Chris Rock said, he was like, yo, how about the fact that I'm used to getting pussy 4 times a week?
Right.
I need pussy payments.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what I mean? So I get what you mean, but it depends on what you fostered. Like, if all of a sudden I got signed and I was like, yo, baby, you just stay home, you know, you stay your ass home. Every time I come home, you got blunt roll, pussy wet. You know what I mean? Then what is she going to do? For 20 years, I was famous. She didn't work on, which was an environment that I agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she hasn't built herself. And that's why you see nowadays, if you watch like a Love and Hip Hop, those little bitches are like, I want to start a clothing line. I want to do this. Because they know that they are going to be left with nothing.
But so let's put that into the prenup to where it's like you're not getting payments, but if you want to start a career,
I will
invest in that venture.
Exactly. Like if you go into real estate, I'll invest into that. I'll make sure that you got the biggest houses, the best team, exactly. The nice whip to whipper.
Because like, you know, I will help foster. Yeah.
See, and that's what I'm saying with this whole relationship. We don't know how it all came about. Now, $2 million a month.
Fuck. If I'll you marry need Dr. Dre for that shit. I don't give a fuck about how I look.
Yo.
$2 million a month?
$2 million a fuck a mouth.
A mouth.
Nigga,
my machoistic shit is telling me $2 million a mouth.
Mouth is too fucking yo.
I won't be
for
catching,
$2 million a month, yo.
I'm not gonna catch, but I'll pitch the shit out of a motherfucker.
Hey. Pause. I'm not saying that I would this is getting to weird conversational territory.
No,
but
bro,
you know what?
You can't tell me about weird conversation territory. You are the
therapy
king.
Is way cheaper than $2 million a month. I get some good ass therapy. I'll spend $1 million a month on therapy and spend $1 million a month. Nigga, so like, I know it's hard to say because we get into weird territory, but shit.
Yo, I'll spend $1 million a month on therapy.
Exactly. And a fucking
right?
Whip a mil a month, guy.
No, I will bank 750G a month.
Yeah.
And that 250, I will be the most depressed motherfucker in the Bugatti.
That's my point. Like, that's my point. But that's not saying I'm trying to enter into some fucking weird entanglements.
We're talking jokingly, but
I'm just saying we don't know the circumstance. I do think $2 million a month is way too much regardless. But we just don't know the life, right? Like, if she was the one who was like, you should call him Beats, baby. And then he sells it for a mil.
Even then.
I guess. Like, all you did was make up the name, bitch, Kick Rocks. Like I just don't know. Like I'm saying, I don't know the level of involvement.
And when
like,
I
what if she watched
that's...
all the books when he was gone, set up shit, took calls, kids. Made sure his shit, watched the kids. I didn't have a job because you wanted me to pop out fucking four kids because we're so rich. Every time you wanted to throw a party, I made sure the shit was lit. Cause you watch those shows
I
and
let
you see
you
what
sleep with all these women for no reason.
Just be big, like, and I totally sat in the shadow. I do think you deserve something. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But I think $2 million a month is exorbitant no matter what the fuck you did.
Yeah, $2 million. I think I really believe when I see something that's so high,
you
I
just
feel
think
like it's
animosity.
And it has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be. There has to be some kind of hurt. Hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
And she's a hurt person that wants to hurt someone, and the best way to hurt Dr. Dre's pockets.
Yeah. It makes me think too that if I was to guess, it makes me think that Dr. Dre said, like, no matter what happens
I'm
on some forever shit.
Well, they were together for so long.
Yeah, like, he was just like, yo, no matter what, I would never leave you, no matter what. Like, and now it's coming down to it, and he's just like, I'm just happier by myself.
Yeah.
And or she's like, what you said, I didn't sign no prenup shit because you said. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, like, if it isn't on the paper and it isn't in the fucking, in the contract,
yeah,
what do you think should happen?
Anything, which is fucked up.
So basically, if you didn't sign a contract correctly,
I mean,
then you asked the fuck out.
Like, that's not what I think should happen. But if you, the natural inclination of contracts, if you didn't sign a contract, I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, and I can't defend that happened.
Okay, so when you were defending niggas who weren't getting paid enough last week, see, I told you
the setup was coming, nigga.
I told you the setup was coming. So if you didn't sign the contract, Like we talked about last week, if you get fucking asked, then it is what it is.
But Joe Budden waited till the end of his contract to leave.
She waited till the divorce.
What?
I don't know. Didn't people wait till they waited till the divorce to set this shit up?
No, but the thing was, like, Joe Budden waited to the end of the contract to not even talk about the issue with his contract, to talk about things that happened within his term of Spotify. And he said, that's not going to happen. But throughout that thing,
Sorry. It was actually the Nick Cannon talk.
Oh,
you said that nigga should have owned his shit, even though he obviously didn't sign. He signed it away.
He should have.
And you defended that position, even though he signed the fucked up contract.
I defended that he should have been smarter.
I think you said regardless of contract, he deserved something. And I said, sign a proper deal, nigga. And you said, well,
okay.
You kind of skirted around.
You got me on that. I didn't skirt around anything. I mean, I ain't skated around.
I'm so sorry.
But at the end of the day, but no, I think I was, towards the end of the conversation, I kind of agreed with you. And we were on the same level where I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's true. Like, regardless of how I personally feel, legally, you should have, you know.
Signed the shit.
Yeah, but so it says I don't know why you're pulling shit back from fucking four episodes ago.
Well, because you just were so staunch. That, no, I don't. I'd have to go back and listen to if I was agreed with.
Yo, and I don't know what staunch means, but the way that word sounds, I don't think I was it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you fucking embody staunch, nigga. Like, look up the word. Look up the word.
I'm not looking up shit.
I'm looking it up.
Staunchly not looking up shit.
Well, guess what?
I'm reading messages.
I agree with you. You know what? I think that you would do that because, again, it fits you. Staunch. Loyal and committed in attitude.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't say it was bad.
No,
you did.
You said it in a... Look at your face.
I said... My face. Look at your face. Run the camera back. I'm looking regular. Regular fucking degular, nigga. Like, I'm just trying to...
This nigga D-regular.
Just fucking D-regular.
Nigga, anyways, what is it? Okay, so hit me with the point. If I'm agreeing with you and you took four episodes, that's 4 weeks.
Nah, nigga, I knew that
you
were going to come to a point.
A week.
No, your idea was the contract or not, niggas should get what they deserve. And today, if it ain't in the contract, kick rocks.
I didn't say if it ain't in the contract, kick rocks. I said that... Because there was a, I can't remember. I've been drinking.
All right, it's all good. Me too.
I'm agree with you. Cool.
But you know what?
I'm wrong.
Now that you mentioned it,
I don't know if I can intelligently argue this shit.
King Petty, because maybe you did it.
No,
I'm trying to really think back, and I'm like, maybe he did agree.
This was Lord Petty. This was
No.
This is Lord
Petty. King is higher than Lord.
How is a king higher than Lord?
Well, not the Lord, a Lord.
Okay, but you the Lord Petty.
No, you changed it. Then I don't agree.
Because I added a word?
Yeah, the. No.
Okay, yo, right that changes the fucking. That's proving
no.
the pettiness.
You calling me a lord and the lord.
I just said it lord.
Couldn't be different, like more different. I agree. I am Lord Petty, which is lower than king. If you're saying I'm the lord, I don't agree anymore.
You are.
That's all I'm saying.
You are the Lord Petty.
No, I don't agree. That's all I'm saying. I agree. I am Lord Petty. That's how petty I am because that word means shit.
We, the?
Yeah.
Okay, so we have.
If I called you the Will Hayes.
Right.
Or just Will Hayes.
Your face, nigga. No, your face, nigga.
But that's what I mean. Nigga, even the, I know, the face there's changes no, okay, because listen. The word holds power.
Bruh, we have had conversations for the last year and a half, face to face, to the point where you could tell me whatever the fuck you want to tell me.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying. Because your facial expressions tell niggas everything.
No. I got a poker face, nigga. Nigga can't see shit.
Nigga, right there. Nigga, if we play poker, you would be broke.
Apple of tone.
Get a fucking prenup before me and you play poker. Nigga.
Nah, nigga.
I want spousal support.
That, yeah.
From poker, nigga.
Word. You're right, though. You did kind of agree. But my point is that.
I can't remember if I did, but I can't understand either. Your point. Yeah.
Yeah, man. You got to sign this shit.
It's definitely a sliding narrative when it comes to and your point, all jokes aside, your point is a incredible point because we will take that idea and put it towards marriage and be staunch on it. I know what staunch means. I was playing. But when it comes to seeing brothers and sisters in different contracts, we want that staunchness to waver.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you can't pick and choose the legality that suits you.
Exactly. You can't pick and choose that shit. You got to have it on paper. Mm-hmm. And sometimes niggas like, think about it. 25 years ago, Dre was a very successful artist, but they didn't think $1 billion beats successful.
Oh, no. Not at all.
So it's tough. When you say, yeah, baby, you always get a third. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, whoa, I didn't think a third was a third of a billion. That's your fault. That's your fault.
Yeah.
You know, you're the one who didn't have the vision for your greatness.
And it's but that's the statement that kind of bugs me. That you didn't have the vision for your greatness. Cause we had that conversation. This goes back weeks and weeks. Cause we had it with Pippin.
Mm-hmm.
We had it with Budden.
Mm-hmm.
We had it with who was it before
Cannon?
Cannon.
Because he didn't see Wild It Out getting as big as it was, and now that he signed away the rights to it, and he's regretting it.
It's one of those things where it's like you have to be passionate about your project to sign something with someone, and it's almost impossible for you to realize your greatness at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the end of the day, like you said, if Spotify came with the bag, it might be different with Spotify after looking at the Joe Rogan and the Joe Budden and everything that's going on with them and how Spotify moves. But if someone came with the bag and it was a bag and we were good, 2 years we were good and we had the money and we put in the investments, you know what I'm saying? We did what we needed to do, we were good. And then we realized after that 2 years, it's like we are a $1 billion podcast.
Yeah.
It'd be hard for us to realize that now.
Exactly. Because
right now, we're just two niggas that talk shit.
But whose fault is that?
But is that a fault, or is that something we should be like, okay, at a specific time, if but not timeline as in time as in clock time, but if we get to a specific point where this is what we bring in, at that point,
we need to
renegotiate.
Yeah.
And not time. So it's like, yo, da-da-da. But if we get to the point where we're more than five times more of what we are now, we need to get the renegotiation.
But how? But what would trigger that?
Well,
it's like term in the contract. You got to write that. That's why I keep saying you got to write that shit in.
Because, you have to write that shit in. And that's not like because the not recognizing your greatness. I just have an issue with that because with us. Right now.
Mm-hmm.
We probably won't recognize our greatness.
No.
And if we feel, and then recognizing our greatness on a deal maybe us overestimating our greatness or being overzealous.
Mm-hmm.
Where, I mean, fortune favors the bold and everything like that, right?
But that's why I just think tough. The ownership.
Always.
You always got to keep that. But always, I got to admit, like, yo, just, always, you know, friend to friend.
Always.
Best friend to best friend.
This is why I love having you on the podcast, because you are like, you're.
So best friend to best friend.
Needle point.
If Spotify came up today and was like, yo, 2,000 an app and we have one app a week. I would sign that motherfucker in like a minute. But
we'd have to see what's in it, because there have to be some something. There
some
have to
sort be of something. Clause. And you know what? That's exactly why we're learning from this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're actually getting to learn, and it should be everybody out there learning too. Your worth. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, be careful with it. I know it's tough.
Because
somebody who comes by and they, you know, they want to buy, I want all the smoke, and they're like, yo, we'll give you $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, whoa. But give us the two fucking mil, but then what if in 5 years it's a $1 billion pot? Like, we're like, yeah, yo.
And they have us
we done fucked
fucking
up.
Jackass like, type shit.
Yeah.
And we're stuck in the contract.
Exactly. With no fucking holidays and da 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 da.
But that's like, but with marriage is different, because you're going into a contract with someone that hopefully you at that point love unconditionally. And that's where it gets like, yo, I don't want to even imagine this scenario, but if this scenario happens.
Honestly, Nick, I'm going to tell everybody out there right now, if it's not paternal love, yo, fuck the unconditional for life guy. It just ain't real.
I'm
not saying it can't happen.
I love Gabby unconditionally.
Yeah, because there's a paternal relationship, a parent. That's what I mean. Sorry, I apologize. That's what I meant by paternal. I meant like, so parent when you to said, kid to parent.
Okay, so when you
that's
said,
unconditional. Yeah,
so when you said paternal, you meant the Webster's Dictionary version of it.
Yes.
And when I heard paternal, I meant like blood. So I was wrong.
Yeah.
126.
Well, yeah, but my point is I will clarify. I just mean like parent to kid to parent.
Whether it's
that's
in,
the
whether
only
it's of
true,
your blood or not. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry if I didn't mean to make. That's why I said paternal and not blood, because I know there's plenty of people. Yo, once I raised you for 10 years, like you're gonna look out for me. I'm gonna look out for you. But
The explanation was purely for my.
I think that that's the only true unconditional love that exists.
I think, and we've seen fucked up situations where that love really didn't exist, but that is the purest form of. Unconditional love.
Because unconditional means no matter what, right?
Right.
That means you fucking slap the bitch, she's still supposed to love you?
That means she fucks you a nigga, you still supposed to love her?
That's what I mean. That's why unconditional? Right. That's big. Like, you got to be like my kid who I have no choice. Like,
not even that you have no choice, where it's just like, but
no, but
exactly
if the kid murders
mean, yes.
six people,
I
probably still will put
you.
Some money
I
on
have
your
to
books
ride with
and
you.
Shit.
Yeah, I
right?
Have to ride
like,
with you. You
that's what
up,
I meant by no
you.
Choice. You always have a choice.
Yeah.
I mean, but you would probably choose not to abandon because, yo, even if someone who you truly unconditionally love, they're going through a hard time. They're in jail for murder. Like, I want to be there for you through these hard times, and hopefully you learn better, and I want to do whatever I can to help mm-hmm. you learn better. You know, I just only think that exists through kids.
Paternal, yeah. And at the end of the day, apart from kids, unconditional love exists until there's a condition.
Yes.
And there will always be a condition.
Exactly. That's why I wrestle with the term. I'm not mm-hmm. saying it doesn't – I'm not saying we don't feel it in the relationships we're currently in.
And because
right, like
as of
right now, there's nothing you could do except fucking another nigga, and a couple other things.
That condition,
so it's almost unconditional.
Yeah. But there, you have in relationships, you have red flags and no go zones, where it's like, okay, so da 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 da. But if this happens, we're not going to be together. But when it comes to your kids,
what are you gonna do? You gotta
it's
ride
like one
to
of those
the
things.
End.
It's like, yo. In this situation with anybody else, but at the end of the day, I'm going to ride with you.
And you know what it is, too? It's like, you don't have to actually be with your kid. Maybe that's why is possible.
You don't need to receive love from your kid on a constant basis.
And not that level of love.
Right.
Right? Oh, like, not the love where, you, like, he's supposed to prop you up.
Yeah.
Like, kids are supposed to support you and whatnot, but I think it's unfair when parents are expecting their kids to, like, prop them up.
Yeah, I don't feel right if my kid doesn't. Yeah, sure, why not? I don't feel right if my kid doesn't make me feel like an old nigga. Like an old head that, like, sometimes I have a conversation with my kids. Like, we'd be on the group chat. My son would be like, Pops, you need to chill out, nigga. Like,
Yeah.
And I'd be like, that's love. That make me feel like I'm the old head that shouldn't be talking about Lil Yachty.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm You're like, hey, you little kids seen that new WAP video? Dad, chill out.
Chill out. Yeah. I thought that we would have more time to get into another topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wrong.
We so are we doing that? Because I think the review will be short. Do you want to try to hit one more thing quickly, or you want to just get to the review?
Did you listen at all?
I did listen to some of it. I have one thing to say about it, but I do feel like we'd have to go with your score because mine wouldn't be fair.
And I think we should keep it till next week then.
Okay, well, the next week we got Big Sean coming.
Big Sean Detroit 2.
I feel like I saw something of yours that would have been a quick hit.
Let me check here.
Yeah, we gonna check that out. You know what I mean? He's just gonna check because
quick hit. Cause we got 10. Did I push something? I push something. What did I
push? Yeah, you got Idol in the house, nigga.
Why do we have niggas on fucking YouTube? Tupac. Okay, this is.
Let's hit up that Revolt one. That's a quickie.
Revolt. Where is it?
Up right there. You were on it.
Okay.
Dulazol 2.0.
Yeah, Dulazol 2.0, white woman apologized after years of pretending to be black. So, a white woman who spent years pretending to be black is now apologizing to be a culture leech. Now I'm looking at this picture, and who the fuck believes she was black?
I'm trying to see it. I don't. You know what, though?
Look, it's the lips.
You know those real light skin? Like, bruh. She looks like, you know those girls who are just like, you're like, she ain't black, and then she's just like, what is this? Because she's like straight from Africa.
But the lips... It's the upper lip.
I agree.
I don't know any black person, and including Logic, I went looking at this nigga's lips, but it's the lips. She don't look black. She looked like she liked black.
Yeah.
Like, this is Red Deer. This is Red Deer written all over it. Jessica Krug, a professor at George Washington University. Now, why is it always someone that's in a higher learning position?
They're trying to be...
Dulazol, she was in that higher learning. She was even part of the NCAAP, right? NAACP, I mean.
Yeah. She was the head of it.
Yeah.
How do you be the head of niggas?
Bro, she did more for black people than black people, and she wasn't black. That was the whole issue.
I know. That's why I was kind of hoping, like, some of these people, you're like, damn it.
I was
couldn't
like,
you have just stayed undercover? You were doing good shit.
Take Kanye.
But I guess it is cultural appropriation.
Which I really... Why is cultural appropriation, if your moves are for the advancement of the culture, a bad thing?
Well, it depends. Did you profit? Cultural appropriation doesn't become with how successful your movement was. It's how much you profited off of a culture that didn't get any kind of kickback from it.
So why are they getting mad at Adele for wearing braids in the Jamaican bikini?
Was that cultural appropriation, or was she just trying to, like, pander?
I think she's trying fucking Jamaican dude.
Yeah, no, honest. And it. That's
I don't even think it was pandering. I think she lost weight.
Cultural appropriation. That wasn't appropriation to me. That was just her being. Yeah. I know it's kind of dumb because unless she's coming out with a reggae album, you know what I'm saying? Like, she's not selling it.
Adele Lyon.
Just wearing it isn't appropriation. Mm. Appropriation is the profit of. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if all of a sudden. A bunch of white people want to wear dreads and they're going to white salons to get dreads. That's where they say that's cultural appropriation because white people are profiting off of. I mean, we could, let's not, please. Let's
I think
not.
The cultural appropriation is appropriating. is a
course appropriating. What's the one I did? I did one too.
What did you do? You did.
I can't remember. It was one of them. Though.
Nigga, we drank a whole fucking.
We did
a bunch.
I know. I was gonna come in here and be like, "Yo, I don't think I'm gonna drink much anymore." And now look, I'm laughing like that. Did you hear? Okay, I'm done.
I'm looking through this. I think
you think it's real bad what she did? Because we don't have enough time to really go deep on this.
I think that has 100% to do with where we are from and the white bitches we know.
Yeah.
I feel like I know Indian dudes that because they're from a Caribbean island say they're black.
Are you talking about Guyana?
At the end of the day.
I'm just trying to figure it out. Because
at the end of the day.
I question some of that shit too. No, I'm just playing. I don't.
Because.
Yo, Appleton Estate, I'm swear to God, check the video. Leave fucking check the whole thing. I'm talking shit then realizing what I'm saying after I say it.
I think I drank too much to comment on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, I don't know. It's tough. You know what I mean? If she suffers from mental shit, then I hope she gets help. You know what I mean? I thought it was going to be quick. Let's get to the review.
We don't have a review this week.
Oh, yeah. We're doing it next week. All right. This week in history. Well, they're good. We filled up the time. We don't want to end too quick.
Yeah, we're good.
All right. Yo, I found that it was real thin.
Hip hop history?
Yeah, it was real thin. Like, are you already past a week?
August 30th? No, not yet.
Not yet.
Oh, the Junior Mafia. Yeah. I mean, I know what I'm picking.
Okay, so for me, like I said, for me, this was a thin week. I didn't have anything real, so I'm just going to go with something that, I don't know, it doesn't have a real impact. Like, usually I bring up shit that had an impact. Mm-hmm. This I just liked. So, Young MC released his debut album, Stone Cold Rhymin'. I don't know, I love Busta Move. You didn't like Busta Move?
I liked it because I was, what year?
89.
Right. What month? Did it say month?
September 5th.
Okay. So I was like 4 days after 9.
Exactly.
And just learned how to thread the needle. Okay. I liked it because I was young, ignorant, and I just liked black people telling me to dance.
Yeah, it was dope. And just like the stories were funny in it too. And he had Busta Move and what was the other one? Not Funky Cole Medina. That was Tone Loc.
That was Tone Loc.
He had another one. It was Busta Move and... Ah, shit. Let me look it up. But anyways, that's my hip-hop history. It ain't nothing. It ain't really nothing this week. There was nothing that really, really stuck out to me. So what's yours?
My this week in hip-hop history, just because I want to accredit myself to being one of the first people that brought the South to Calgary. Okay. UGK released their second album, Super Tight, on August 30th, 1994. I believe this is the one that was like, I got a pocket full of stones. Like, Chad Butler, a.k.a. Pimp C, and, Bun B.
Yeah, Bun B.
Wow. Wow.
Sorry, I'm trying to find if there was another
No,
song.
Don't apologize. I'm the one that drew the blank. But we were banging Underground Kings from so long that we realized they were from the South, like, after this LP. Like, you could hear it in there. That, you know, they're from Houston and things like that. But at the end of the day, I think it was UGK and Ghetto Boys was tough for people to realize they're from the South. Everybody thought Ghetto Boys were from the West Coast. But, yeah. So, I want to give UGK Underground King Super Tight. That's my Today in Hip Hop History. I'm a huge, huge, huge UGK, Pimp C, and Bun B fan.
UGK.
UGK.
We fucked up, nigga.
Yeah, we are extra drunk.
There was no other good songs than Busta Move. I looked it up. Okay, that was a horrible this week. But regardless, I did like Busta Move.
So this week in hip hop history, Super Tight, Underground Kings, and what's the album that he came out
Young
with?
MC, Stone Cold Rhymin', Busta Move.
Stone
you
Cold Rhymin'.
Want it.
Yeah, we know what it goes.
You got it.
I really have to hit the bathroom.
What?
Like, so bad.
No wonder this nigga trying to cut the show.
@ I want all the smoke, and I am Will Hayes on all social media platforms. Oh, shit. This is the important part.
Yeah.
This is the shit I should have said, like, so long ago. Oh, please, man. Everybody, listen. We're going to give you some extra
glass,
shit
nigga.
On our Patreon and our PodFan. PodFan is pod.fan/I want all the smoke. We're going to come in the next, by September 26th, we're coming with some shit that you're not going to hear on the regular podcast. I'm talking conspiracies. I'm talking underground shit. I'm talking shit.
A little bit of a deeper dive on some of the shit that we really enjoy or research or want to get in on. So
if you want goosebumps, we're going to give you goosebumps.
Yeah.
That's happening. So please, pod.fan/ I want all the smoke. And you got to subscribe to the, $6 a month package to get that. I am Will Hayes on social media platforms. _ I want all the smoke. Hit him quick, please. Idol. I know it's. Where can they find you? No longer under construction. Quick, Idolverse.
Exactly.
this nigga's like, yo, I'm gonna go slow as pot. Fuck you.
Shit, I can't remember.
I hate you.
I'm trying to remember. Hey, this nigga's leaving the show.
I can't stand
this. This nigga's leaving the show. Okay, so I'm solo because Will Hayes can't hack it. Basically. yo, you can find me at all streaming platforms, your boy Idol, you know what I mean? I got that Hazmat out. We got some singles out. Me and Will Hayes got some collabs out, so make sure you follow me as an artist. You know what I mean? We got some shit coming. Courtesy of Digital Diamond Studios. You are rocking with your boy Idol. You know what I mean? At Idolverse on all streaming platforms. Make sure you hit me up. Instagram, Twitter. And then on Facebook, I'm just straight up Idol. I tell you my real name, but you know what I mean? You ain't gonna get that. Because I put up a lot of black shit anyways. Y'all wouldn't, you know, probably wouldn't want to fuck with that. But yeah, we coming with the After the Smoke After Dark. We're gonna hit up all those topics. Gonna talk more about the black shit. Gonna talk more about conspiracy theories, moon landing, how the shit ain't real. You know what I mean? Talking all that good shit. All the shit about all the underground, dark shit. Pretty much. You know what I mean? It's just me kicking it. Yeah, I ain't got no one to press stop. I could just stop, but why bother? You know what I mean? I'm just gonna keep rocking with y'all. Yeah, so I'm probably gonna talk about that. Make sure you check out Dr. Claude Anderson, Powernomics. He's got another one called Black Reader, Dirty Little Secrets in History. Check out all of his shit. You know what I mean? He says some controversial things, but he's basically stood up for black people the whole time. So make sure you check that. And I have filled up enough time and my man is back. So with that, we out this motherfucker.
You think this is a game? This ain't a game. This is real life. I want all the smoke. The podcast that ain't afraid to speak the truth, motherfuckers.